Hey, good morning. So glad that you're here. My name is Chris. I get the privilege to serve as senior pastor here, and just so grateful. Thank you. Welcome to Tech Sunday. We're excited. I know we may have some more rolling in, and we're excited to let them, anybody come and want to join and be a part, so looking forward to today. Thank you to all of you coaches who have helped lead in this and lead your teams here, and we are just so grateful for the opportunity. And hope that you feel at home and welcome. We love to say around here, we want this to be your second family. And so we just want to do all that we can to exalt the name of Jesus, and hopefully that you feel welcome and a part here. We do have, obviously, emphasis today, Tech Sunday, and welcoming athletes and athletic programs, and also incoming freshmen, and just maybe any other guests that may not be directly tied to Arkansas Tech. We just want to say a special welcome to you. And so here's what I want to do, if we can, for all of our Tech students. Hopefully you've made plans to stay with us afterwards. We have a specialty in serving hamburgers and gourmet hot dogs. I mean, that is our specialty. So hopefully you're planning to stay around. And thanks for laughing, by the way. I appreciate that. But hopefully you'll plan to stay around. And then we have a QR code, just a simple survey form that we would love for you to fill out. So we want to do that with all of our Tech students. We'd love to connect with you there. If you are a guest that's here that's not directly tied to Arkansas Tech, we're grateful that you're here, grateful that you've chosen to worship with us. There's a card in the pew back in front of you, and we'd love for you to fill that out, and that's a way for us to connect with you. Or if you're watching online, you can go to our website, sbcr.org, and there's a button that says, I'm new. You can fill that information out, and we'd just love to connect with you, know that you are worshiping with us, and how we might be able to serve your family. And so, again, thank you so much for being here. We do have a meal today. It is not just for our Tech students. It's for any of our church family, any of our guests. We have quite a few of our folks that are throughout the building serving in different ways, trying to make today happen. And so I am thankful for each one of them. You see several of our folks will be here on stage. But I can tell you that those of us on stage this morning make up a very small part of those that make today possible. And so I'm really grateful for all of our volunteers, and appreciate the work that they're doing and work that has gone into today. Hey, if you're a freshman, we're going to be over there, a part of Involvement Fair tomorrow. We'd love to connect with you. We're also a part of BCM is having a state night on campus on Thursday night. So if you're looking to be a part of that, connect with them. We'll be there as well. And then 1 week from this Wednesday, we have a collegiate worship service. So our collegiate ministry we call Second College, and we have a free meal every Wednesday night at 7:15, and then 8 to 9 o'clock we have a worship service. And so for our college students, so we'd love for you to come and be a part of that if you'd like to connect in that way. Again, that starts 1 week from this Wednesday. This coming Wednesday, our children's ministry kicks off on Wednesday night. For any of you families that have young children, love for you to be a part of that. Our youth also get started, but we have a block party this Wednesday to kick those things off, and a lot of activities resuming this fall. So, hey, just thank you so much for being here. I want to lead us in a word of prayer, and then our minister of music, Al Ray Taylor, is going to come and lead us along with Becca and Jonathan, and then Miss Sherry playing the piano. And so let me lead us in a word of prayer. Lord, you are gracious and kind and merciful. We thank you for all that you are and all that you do. God, I pray that everything that we do this morning would exalt the name of Jesus. God, I pray you'd hide us behind your cross, fill us with your spirit. I pray, God's spirit, that you would fall on this place. And Lord, you would do a great work. And God, minister to us now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, would you stand with us as we sing?
Glory to the newborn King and the humblest hearts adore you. Jesus saves, Jesus saves, and the wisest bow before you. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. See the sky alive with praise, melting darkness in its place. There is light forevermore if Jesus saves. He will live our sorrow sharing. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. He will die. Saves all the saints who shout together. Jesus saves, Jesus saves, rising up so vast and strong, lifting up salvation's song. God redeemed will sing forever. Jesus saves, rising up.
Has the power to raise the dead? Who can save us from our sin? He is our hope, our righteousness. Jesus, only Jesus. And who can make the blind to see? Who holds the Jesus, only Jesus.
will command the highest praise. Yours is the name above all names. You stand alone, I stand amazed. Jesus, only Jesus, Jesus, only Jesus. Holy King, Almighty Lord, saints and angels all adore. I join with them and bow before Jesus, only Jesus.
Like the name of Jesus. Continue to worship with us.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left died my soul to save. My I'll still redeem. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. He washed it white as snow. He washed it white as snow.
Amen. Well, I will be sharing a message with you from the book of Acts, Acts chapter 17. Some of you are able to get a bulletin on your way in. It has notes there. There's a Bible in the pew back in front of you. I think page 1022, if you turn there. It's a little bit different translation I'll be using. Also, you may use the Bible app on your phone, if you do, you can pull up, you can look under events, and there underneath events should be Second Baptist Church Russellville, and our notes along with my sermon will be there, and so you're certainly welcome to follow along that way, whichever way works best for you. And so grateful again for all of you being here and looking forward to this morning. Again, I mentioned my name is Chris. Oh, before I go any further, I forgot. This is one of the reasons I try not to start specifically naming people who are helping and being a part. I got down there and realized I forgot to mention my man Ashton on drums. So, hey, great job. So, he'll appreciate me pointing that out. But anyway, so I appreciate everybody who helps today and just week in and week out, so many volunteers to make this happen. So, I'm grateful for that. But I get the privilege to serve as senior pastor, but also I get the opportunity to serve at Arkansas Tech in different ways, different capacities, and different athletic programs. Some of you know that quite well, some of you maybe not. But initially started as getting the opportunity to be character coach for Coach Downey and his staff and our basketball guys, and then as well as Coach Kara and the volleyball ladies. And then my wife gets to help a little bit with doing some things with the cross country and track team, and just so many different ways, and gotten to know Coach Wilbur's a little bit, and then Coach Shipp and I recently have had some good conversations and look forward to some opportunities there. And so that's sort of how this sort of came apart, or came to be, I guess, if you will. I graduated from Tech several years ago. I grew up about an hour from here, and this morning I want to preach to you a message that I've titled, Something is Missing. Something is missing. See, because I grew up as a pretty average Arkansas kid, I guess. Had a pretty good childhood, wasn't abused, wasn't mistreated, anything like that. Had its challenges, but nothing of that nature. But I went to a school called County Line. And it's smaller than it sounds, all right? Back in the day, before cell phones, when like long distance was a thing, it sat right on the county line. So to call from the high school office to the elementary office, which you could throw a rock and hit, by the way, it was long distance, all right? So back in the day, so really small school, all that sort of thing. But all that we had basketball. Now, we had in-season basketball, and we had off-season basketball. Now, some schools called that track and baseball. But that was our off season. We played baseball and ran track to stay in shape for hoops, and so that's all we did. And so my dream was to, you know, make it big time with basketball. And as you can see, the closest I ever got to being on the court or being effective around like a collegiate program is a character coach, where they don't let me have a ball and they don't give me a clipboard. And so that's best both ways, probably. So, but growing up, as I got older, man, I started doing a lot of things that the world said to do, to find happiness, to enjoy life, live life to its fullest, all those sorts of things. And so all of these sorts of things I began to get involved with, and negative activities and all that sort of stuff. And man, it just was a repetitive cycle that I couldn't break, things that I'm really ashamed of as I look back now, and just had to chase every day or week in and week out. Man, just at the end of life in a lot of ways, man, I had anger that you know, really couldn't go and directly tie anything to, just, man, volatile. At points in my life, struggle with suicide and all these sorts of things. And I just kept doing some of the same things over and over, and life was empty. There was something missing. And so this morning, I want to share with you a message from the book of Acts chapter 17. And I want to talk to you about some people who were religious. They were doing some things, trying to look to fill this void. And they just could not find, they couldn't figure it out. But there was a man named Paul that came and shared with them a message. And so I know you just sat down a moment ago. One of the things that we like to do, because we believe that the Bible is holy and infallible and inerrant, that it is the perfect Word of God. And so out of our reverence and respect for the Word of God, I know it's a little bit strange maybe for some of you, but I'm going to ask if you would you stand just a moment as we read the Word of God? Now, I promise I'm going to let you sit down for a long time, okay? Maybe not too long, hopefully. All right, so I'm going to begin reading. We're going to actually look at verses 22 through 34, but I'm not going to read all of that here right now this morning. So I want you to look at verse 25 with me. We're going to start there. And so he says, "Nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needs anything, since he gives gives to all life and breath and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own prophets have said, or poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we not ought to think God of that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone or something shaped by art and man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead." Let me pray. Jesus, you're good. We thank you for your word. We thank you for each one that's here. I pray, God, you would be exalted in this moment. God, I pray that, God, that for anyone who may be here with something missing in their life, God, maybe it's you, that I pray, God, you minister to them, speak to them. God, just encourage them and equip them. Bring about salvation for your glory. Lord, we love you and praise you. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Again, this morning, preach to you this message: there is something missing. There is something missing. And so the main idea of the text is this, is that God created us for a saving relationship with him. God created us for a saving relationship with him. See, Paul is a missionary in the Bible. He is Jesus has come. He has lived a perfect life. He has died on the cross. He is raised from the dead. And the in the early part of the book of Acts, the early New Testament church is started. And so these men are going around telling people what Jesus has done, how they could have a relationship with him, how they could experience salvation. And he is going from, Paul is one of those men going from region to region, telling people this story, sharing the gospel, sharing the good news is how we describe that. And so he felt like God had led him to a specific area. And so here he is, he's heading into this area, and we're going to read through this story of what takes place. But the main idea, if you have to say it in one sentence this morning, is that God created every one of us for a saving relationship with him. And so then the question is this morning, have you surrendered your life to Jesus for salvation? Have you so totally sold out and surrendered your life to him? And so there are four key truths that I want us to look at this morning, and then we're going to hang some points on those as well as we walk along. And so, number one, we were created for a relationship, not a religion. See, a lot of people have misunderstanding or misthoughts about Christianity, that somehow Christianity is a religion, that it's this rules of do's and don'ts and things I've got to keep and not break and all that sort of thing. But I'm here to tell you and dispel that fallacy that couldn't be further from the truth. Christianity is nowhere near, not anything about a religion, but it is about a relationship. And we're going to look at the significance of that, because it's not about what I can do, but it's about what he has already done for me. Jesus did what I couldn't do. And so here we go. We look and said we are created for relationship and not a religion. And so there are kind of three sub-points within that I want us to look at. First of all, religion is not enough. Look at verse 22. Religion is not enough. Listen to what he says. Then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious." See, the Athenian, the people of Athens there, they were really religious people. And what Paul liked to do before he would go in and teach people about Christianity and what Jesus has done, and most often, a lot of times, Paul would end up in places where they were worshiping God through their Jewish tradition, all that sort of thing, but he liked to walk around the city and get a survey of the city, if you will, to see what they were about and all that sort of thing. And so that's what he does here. And as he walks around, he notices that there are all kinds of idols all over the city. Man, they're just absolutely everywhere. And he notices that they are a very religious people. They have all these gods, all these sorts of things that they do of trying to earn some sort of favor or some sort of blessing from some false idol or some false god. And so he says, "I perceive that you are very religious." But listen, why did they have so many? Why? Because historians tell us, man, that as they uncover some of these ruins of these places, there were idols everywhere. Idols for everything you could think of. Idols for dancing. Idols for singing. Idols for pouring. Idols for spinning. Man, they created an idol for everything. And so why in the world would they have all of these idols? Because it wasn't enough. They would come up with an idol and they'd worship to that idol, but they would still be empty. They would still be void. And so religion is not enough. And so then the second point under that is B, rituals are not enough. Look at what he says in verse 23. "For as I was passing through, I considered the objects of your worship. I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.'" And so what's happening? He's walking around, he's seeing all these idols, and he's recognizing that they are doing forms of worship to these false gods and to these false idols. And so he begins here going, look, religion is not enough. And he's going to get into, I'm not here to proclaim a religion. I'm here to proclaim a relationship. But he's starting saying, hey, I see you're very religious. But then I see these objects of your worship. You're doing ritual acts, all sorts of things. Some that say, hey, that's not that big a deal. Some that would be grotesque and immoral. And they're doing these things as a form of worship, as if trying to earn some sort of favor with some false god that they don't know anything about. And he's saying, listen, the reason you're doing this is it's insufficient. It's not enough. And listen, as a young man, although I wasn't finding a specific idol and putting him on my altar and doing things as if to worship that object. But there were things that this culture said, hey, you want peace, you want happiness, you want joy, do these things. I was doing those things and I had to keep doing them because it wasn't enough. I was void. I was empty. And I don't know, listen, I'm not trying to portray anything on anybody this morning, but maybe that you walked in here this morning feeling the same way. Feeling like, man, it's just not enough. And listen, sometimes even good things leave us void and leave us empty. And it's just not enough because they're not intended to bring us the joy and satisfaction that we're going to see in a moment. So then the third idea about this is relationship with God is all that satisfies. A relationship with God Almighty is all that satisfies. So listen to this. For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship. So what's happening? He had walked through the city. He had seen all these idols, all these things, and he's walking by and he's checking them out and seeing all this. But then he goes, I even found an altar with this, look at this, to the unknown God. Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing him, I proclaim to you. So I want you to think about this for a moment. You think about walking into a city that's got idols everywhere and all sorts of things. And man, everything they could think of. An idol for dancing, an idol for spinning, an idol for singing. I mean, you just think about it. They have an idol for it. And they're doing everything they can to worship those idols. And now all of a sudden, as Paul is going through, he comes across this idol that has the, you know, here, but it has an inscription to the unknown God. Why in the world would a community or a city of people have all of these idols and then all of a sudden they put one to the unknown God? Here's why. Because they understood what we're talking about this morning, that whenever they did all of those things, there was still an emptiness, so they created something to the unknown God just in case they forgot something, just trying to cover their bases. And they were empty and they were void, but this is where Paul starts. He said, I want to tell you about this idol. I want to tell you about this God that you don't know. And that's what he says, the one whom you worship without knowing him, I proclaim to you. He's saying, listen, the reason you're empty, the reason you're void is you don't know this God. You don't know the God of creation. He's going to go on through this. And so I need you to hear this morning that religion is not enough. It's about a relationship with a holy God. And so number two, we have a reason for our being. We have a reason why we are created. So let's look at verses 24 and following. There are a couple ideas I want to give you under this as well is about why we are created or a reason. First of all, we are created by God. Look at verse 24. God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, and does not dwell in temples made with hands. You need to know this morning that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You matter to God. I need you to hear that this morning. I recently spoke with some students talking about some things we might talk about, and one of the things we wanted to talk about was identity. And getting our identity wrapped up in all sorts of things. And it's really easy. I mean, we do this all the time, you know, even in profession. You know, somebody asks you about who you are, and we're quick to say what we do and all sorts of things about it. But I need you to hear this fundamentally this morning. Number one, you are created by God. You are God's creation. And listen to this, that God spoke everything into existence. He said, let there be light, and there was light. He said, let there be land, and there was land. Let there be water. He spoke everything into existence. And he took the dust of the ground, created man, and he breathed life into it because man and woman are God's choice creation. Man, he looks at you and he goes, man, I could have a million Taj Mahals. I could have the Taj Mahal of the Taj Mahals, and I don't want that. I want you. You are God's choice creation. Why? We are image bearers of God. He said, I'm going to create man in my image. That every one of us are created in the image of God. And so you are created by God. Genesis 2:7 says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." Not only created by God, but we are created for God. Look at verses, let's read verse 25 on down to 28. "Nor is he worshipped with man's hands as though he needs anything." Look at this. "Since he gives life, gives to all life and breath and all things." So check this out this morning. You're created by God and you're created for God. I want you to see this. Pay attention. Look right here. If I go, God just gave me that breath. If I make it to the end of the sermon, he'll give me all the ones in between. Because the Bible says God gives life and breath in all things. God gave you life this morning. He gave you breath in your lungs. For the most part, as best I can tell, he gave you a sound mind this morning, all right? But he says, "I give life." He gives life and breath in all things. And then look at verse 26. "And he made from one blood every nation and men to dwell on the face of the earth." I want to pause here for a moment. Listen, man, this is what we've got to get a hold of in our nation more than ever. Here's what he says. Did you catch this? I want you to see that. We have it on the screen. "He has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell." This does away with any hint of what people buy into, the baloney people buy into of racism. Because he says he has made all nations of one blood. Listen, you can't take my blood and put it in a dog and that dog live. You can't take a horse's blood and put it in me and live. But you can take my blood and put it in a black man or an Asian man and the right blood type, and they live. And the same is true. Why? Because the Bible says that he has made all nations of one blood. The problem is not the color of our skin. The problem is we have a sin problem. That we sin from the very beginning of creation. And he says, man, look, all this stuff going on, but we've got to see and understand he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth. Man, this priority of one person over another is absolutely disgusting in the eyes of God. Because every human being is created in the image of God. And we are image bearers of God. That was free. That wasn't a part of my sermon, but you got it anyway. All right, so, but then he goes on. "And he has determined the pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings." You know what he's saying? He's saying he created, he knows your birth date, and he knows the end date, the expiration date on this side of eternity. He has before appointed the boundaries of their dwellings. And look at verse 27. "So that they should seek the Lord in a hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us." What is he saying? He's saying, look, you need to understand you were created by God, but you weren't just created by God to be left alone and just do whatever you want to do. But no, you were created with purpose. This is where your identity is, that you are created in the image of God. You're an image bearer of God, but done for the purpose and for the glory of God. You're not only created by God, but you're created for God. It says that you may seek him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. Ephesians 2:22 says, "In whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." And then C, we are created to worship God. He says it again in verse 27, "So that we should seek the Lord in the hope that we might grope for him, find him, though he is not far from each one of us." We are created by God, we are created for God, we are created to worship God. Your created purpose, your purpose on this earth, and it works itself out in all sorts of ways. It works itself out in all sorts of platforms. But your singular purpose is to glorify the one who made you. And that is God in heaven. Now we do that in all sorts of different ways and different platforms. Not everybody is called to stand behind the pulpit and proclaim the word of God. And as we can tell, not everybody is called to stand on a sideline with a clipboard or a coach's suit or whatever. Not everybody, but every one of us created to glorify God in the gifts and talents and abilities that He's given us. And so, there's a reason for our being. Number three, we have a responsibility to respond to the gospel. Now, the gospel is simply easily defined as the good news, and He's going to tell us what that is. So, verse 29 says, therefore, since we are the offspring of God, there it is, you're created by God, for God, to worship God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold, silver, or stone, or something shaped by art and man's devising. What's he doing? Remember, Paul walked around, he looked out the city, and he saw all these idols, all these different things that they are worshiping, that they were doing all sorts of rituals for. And what's he doing? He's saying, listen, folks, I've come here to tell you that if we are created by God, for God, to worship God, then we simply cannot think that God then is something that sits on our man, something that sits somewhere, but rather he's got to be bigger than that, okay? And so that's what he's driving here. And so he goes on, therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising. Verse 30, truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. So here it goes. It escalates quickly. So under this, I want you to understand, A, the gospel is for all to repent. What is the gospel? The gospel is this, is that God created us in His image. He created us to worship Him for Him. He created Adam and Eve. And they were given a choice, and they chose to sin and break God's law, break God's command. And because of that, sin entered the world. And so then every generation after that, sin is passed down. Every single person, the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Sin is simply breaking God's law. It's the missing of the mark of which God has set the standard. Now, here's the bad news. Is that the standard in which God is set is perfection. It is perfection. He said, be holy, even as your Father is holy. And you and I both know, every one of us probably lived long enough in here, realize there's not a single person in here that is perfect. And so the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But then it goes on in Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, they were expelled from the garden, and death entered the world. And so then it was passed down to every man, and every generation after that, every human after that, with the exception of one, that's Jesus. I'll get to that in a moment. But that sin was passed on down. And so not only are we inherently sinners because of the sin that was passed, but also we are sinners because we choose to rebel against God. We break God's law. 1 John describes it, if we break the law at any point, then we've broken all the law. So imagine this way, that if we were to go rock climbing or rappelling and we're there hanging on the rope, if you cut the rope right above my hands or you cut it right at the top, it doesn't matter where you cut the rope, the result is the same. It doesn't matter if you cut it multiple times, the result is the same. And so sometimes we visit with folks and we talk to them about, man, it's almost this idea that I'm going to do more good than bad to try. But the problem is the wages of sin and the penalty and the punishment for my sin is death. That's the bad news. The good news is this, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, Jesus, I told you, it's not about a religion, it's about a relationship. Jesus knew that I had a sin problem. Jesus knew that I could never be good enough. I could never earn enough righteousness to get into heaven, to have this relationship. So what did He do? God sent His only Son, Jesus, to come to live a sinless, perfect life. Remember, Jesus, born of a virgin, didn't have an earthly father because sin nature passes through the man. Passes through the seed of man. He didn't have an earthly father, means he didn't have an inherited sin nature. He comes and he lives a sinless, perfect life, and he dies on the cross. And because he's sinless and he's perfect, his blood is righteous. He's fully God, yet fully man. I wish I could explain it better than that, but that's just what the Bible teaches. And so being fully God yet fully man, he goes to the cross and he willingly sacrifices himself as an innocent, as the innocent Son of God. And he does it on your behalf, on my behalf, because he on the cross, he says this, he says in the, he says tetelestai, which means this, paid in full. And Romans 5:8 says this, that God demonstrated his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We sang a moment ago, Jesus paid it all. Because Jesus looked ahead at you and I. He looked at me on my worst day, in my most wicked, sinful state. And he looked at me and he said, I love Chris anyway. I'm going to die on the cross for him. And he looked at you on your worst day. And he said, I love you anyway. I'm dying on the cross for your sin. And what this is pointing to, Paul is driving at here. He said, these times of ignorance God overlooked. What's he telling the people? He's saying, look, you've been worshiping all these false gods. You've been trying to find your identity. You've been trying to find your satisfaction, your meaning, all these sorts of things. Yet over here you have this inscription, to the unknown God. He's the one I'm preaching to you. And he says, I'm here to tell you, friend, that God has overlooked the times of ignorance, the times of not knowing better. He has overlooked that. But now he says he commands all men everywhere to repent. So the transition is this, is that first we need to understand the gospel is for all to repent. It says in Acts 20:21, it sums up the gospel, how I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaim it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying to the Jews and also to the Greeks. Here it is. Here's the gospel. What it takes to have a relationship with Jesus, repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. See, I was going towards the way of the world. I mean, I was going toward the partying and the drinking, the run around, the lying, the stealing, all those sorts of things. And one day, man, I got convicted over the things I was doing. Man, just miserable. I was trying to find everything that the world says make you happy. And I turned from that. That's repentance, means to turn and turn toward God. And I placed my faith and trust in Jesus. I tried everything else almost. I tried everything else that I could think of to find satisfaction in him, or to find satisfaction in the world. But man, when I was confronted with my sin and I turned toward him and I placed my faith and trust in him, because Paul's saying this, the gospel is for all to repent, but then secondly, the gospel is for you to repent. This is where it becomes personal. This is where it becomes a one-on-one decision. I cannot, I lack the ability to make every person believe this. And honestly, God has the power to force that. But God loves you enough that he's given you a choice. He's given every one of us a choice to come to a place in our life where we say, this is what I need. There is something missing in my life, and this is what I need. Isaiah 59:1-2 says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from you and you, from you, your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. Look at what verse 31 says. He says, because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. And he has given assurance of this by raising him from the dead. Who's he talking about? He's talking about Jesus. He's talking about the resurrection. He says he's given assurance of this by raising him from the dead. I graduated Arkansas Tech, and felt like God had called me to the ministry, and so I moved to Memphis to go to Mid-America Baptist Theological Seminary. And whenever I went there, I began working for an evangelist in an inner city ministry. His name is Ronnie Tullis. The inner city ministry there in downtown Memphis used to be the backside of Claiborne Home Housing Project. One time is one of the deadliest neighborhoods in the nation. The ministry had a gym there on the backside of Claiborne Home Housing Project, and just safe place for guys to come get in off the street and hoop and hang out. and didn't have to be looking over their shoulder about anybody robbing them, sticking them up, none of that stuff. And so it was just a safe place. And so we'd go out on the street and just share the gospel. We'd go into a lot of places that nobody else wanted to go to. Not because we were tough or bad or anything like that. We were just convinced that this message changes lives. And so we were in the Hollywood area several years ago. And we were out sharing the gospel, telling people about this message. And I ran into a guy. And we started a conversation. One of the questions we like to ask was this. Said, if you died today, do you know that you'd go to heaven? And so when I asked the gentleman that, he said, yeah. He said, I do. I said, okay, cool. He said, man, I go to heaven. I said, man, praise God. I'd love to meet new believers. I said, man, if I can I ask you this? I said, Lord forbid something were to happen to you today. None of us guarantee tomorrow. And something happened to you today. And you stood before God and he said, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you tell him? I want you to pause and think about that question just for a moment. Don't answer out loud. But I asked this man that. And so he thought for a moment. He said, well, he said, preacher, this is what I'd say. He said, I ain't out gangbanging. I ain't out robbing folk. I ain't sticking nobody up. I'm not a dope boy. I'm a pretty good dude. So, man, praise God. I like to meet good dudes. I said, but man, there's something that concerns me. Can I share that with you? He said, yeah. And so I turned to this verse. I want you to look at this. He said, because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man. I said, man, I said, you don't know me from Adam. And I realized that. I said, but here's the thing. I said, talking to you, you sound like a pretty good dude. And I said, honestly, if we both died exactly the same time and we stood before God at exactly the same time and God said, one of you gets into heaven and one of you doesn't, and it's based on how good you are, I said, you probably get to heaven because there's a lot of things I've done that I'm not proud of. A lot of things I'd be ashamed of. You'd probably get into heaven. I said, but man, the problem is this, is that one day you won't stand next to me. But I turned and looked at this verse and I shared this with him. And what this says is that one day you and I will stand and we will be compared next to Jesus. And I said, man, I love you too much not to ask you. I said, but how are you going to compare when you stand, not next to me, because you probably win every day of the week twice on Sunday against me, but how are you going to compare when you stand next to Jesus? And he said, man, not good. Man, me either. I'm not chunking stones. I'm telling you, I was in the same boat. Because here's the deal. He commands everyone to repent, but he commands each individual to repent. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2 says that his arm's not short, his ear's not heavy, that he cannot say. What does that mean? It means that baddest dude in the world, the baddest person in the world, nobody's too far gone that God can't save. Says that God doesn't lack the ability. So you may sit here this morning saying, preacher, you don't know what I've done. You don't know what I've been a part of. You don't know what you're right, I don't know. But I'm here to tell you, the God who spoke everything into existence, the God said, let it be, and there was, the God who sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for you, the God that raised him from the dead, is the same God that can meet you right where you are and bring salvation in your life. And so, number four, we will react to this gospel. This morning, every one of us will react to this message. And I want you to see that these people quickly, and I'll go through this quickly, these people respond, they react to this. First, the first response that they see is that they mock. It may be this morning that you may mock this message. Look at verse 32. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. You know what? Dudes were sitting in the corner chunking rocks, talking, just yapping, making fun of him, all that sort of thing. And why would somebody do that? Man, who knows? Maybe God wasn't dealing with them. They didn't have any conviction. Man, I'm all right. I don't need that. And it may be that somebody here this morning, you may mock. And if you do, that's fine. It won't hurt my feelings any. It'll grieve me because I know what God has done in my life, and I want to see him do that in others. But some mocked him. The Bible says this, says in John 6:44, no one comes to the Father unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I'll raise him up at the last day. It may be that God wasn't dealing with them. And so there wasn't conviction in their life. And here's the deal, you and I, we don't get saved, we don't respond to this gospel just because we decide it's a good idea. We respond because the Spirit of God is working in us. And it may be that the Spirit of God is working in you this morning. B, first, you may mock. B, you may procrastinate. Listen to what they did. Verse 32, when they had heard of this resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and look at this, while others said, we will hear you again of this matter. You know what they said? Said, man, I'm young. I got time. I don't need to worry about it. I'm good. You know, maybe I'll do that whenever I get older. I'll do it, but not now. One of my very best friends I used to run around with. God worked in my life, changed me. He saw it firsthand because he saw me in the worst of the worst. And I'd talk to him about this, and he'd tell me, Chris, man, I'm just not ready. I'm good. I'm all right. I'm just not ready. Unfortunately, I did his funeral last year. It's my age. Now, I don't realize this, for some of you in this room, I'm getting old. I don't say that to scare you. I don't say that to harm you. But listen, the reality is, folks, most of us in here are adults. We know we're not guaranteed tomorrow. Some of them put them off. And then finally, you may believe in Jesus today. Look at verse 33. So Paul departed from among them. However, some men joined him and believed. And so some men said, that's what I need. That's what I've been missing. Man, I've been worshiping all these false gods. I've been looking for all this stuff that says it's going to make me happy, that's going to satisfy me, that's going to fill me, that's going to be my identity, and just on and on, pouring their life into it. And yet they had this inscription, to the unknown God. Didn't really know why they were doing it, didn't know what it was about, but knew that they were empty and they were void. And here this man shows up, proclaims the gospel, I'm sure totally unexpected, maybe even like some of you this morning, not really knowing what this is about, showed up, hear this message, and man, God is doing something in your heart, in your life, and once this, man, it may be that you decide today, that's what I need, and you repent and believe in Jesus. I pray that you do. October 10th, 2004, I got on my knees and I believed this. I repented and placed my faith and trust in Jesus. And I'm telling you right now, I stood up a changed man. I wasn't the same person I was when I got down. And life hasn't been perfect. It's not been without flaws. It's not been without struggles. But I tell you this, there's a joy that's unspeakable and full of glory in my life. There's a peace that surpasses all understanding. There's something happens. Here's the reality. Here's what I need you to know. You may say the sermon in this way is that there's a God-sized hole in your heart that only that God can fill. Anybody ever play the old Operation game? Is that still even out? Anybody ever play that? You know, they've got the little bones or whatever, and you got to try to put it in there, and if you touch the side, whatever. Here's the reality, is that there's a hole in you that we try to take and put all kinds of things, and the reality is the buzzer keeps going off because there's a God-sized hole in you only that God can fill, and that's through Jesus. And so here's what I want to do. In just a moment, not right now, but in just a moment, I will, if everybody will, just out of respect, we'll bow our head, we'll close our eyes, and we'll give people an opportunity. You may say, man, that's what I need. Here's the beauty of this. The Bible says this, says if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's Romans 10, 9 and 10. Verse 13 says this, okay, catch this really carefully. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, including a redheaded stepchild. For whosoever, God is not a respecter of persons. He doesn't care where you've been or who you are. But the Bible says if you'll call out on him for salvation, he says that he'll save you. Real simply praying, God, forgive me of my sin. I turn from my sin. I place my faith and trust in you. God, I give everything to you. Now, it says Lord. That means he is boss. It means we surrender everything. We don't give him everything except for my little bit of this. We give him everything except for my little bit of that. We give everything to him. And the Bible says this, that he'll save us. And it may be this morning you showed up and, oh man, there's something missing in my life. And the Spirit of God is dealing with you. I beg you, don't mock, don't procrastinate. Believe in him today. If you would you bow your head and close your eyes with me? And if that's you this morning, would you just simply pray right where you're at? Would you just simply ask God to save you, forgive you of your sin, and be the boss and master of your life? You may pray something like this. Say, dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. Jesus, come into my heart. Wash away my sin. Be the boss of my life. I give everything to you. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. And I'll be what you want me to be. In Jesus' name, you remain in an attitude of prayer. And I would just ask you this. If you'd say, Pastor Chris, I prayed that this morning. I asked Jesus to save me and be the boss of my life. I meant it with all my heart. Would you just slip your head up and look right here up at me? Nobody else looking around, but you'd say, amen. Amen. Anybody else say, Pastor Chris, I prayed that meant it with all my heart. Amen. I'm going to ask a few of our counselors to come forward, and here's the deal, is we're going to have a moment to pray. There's no pressure here. Man, God leads you and stirs in your heart. You want to talk to somebody. We have some ladies here up front. We have a couple guys here. If you prayed that, man, you want to come and just talk to somebody about what that is, what it looks like next, I want to encourage you to do that. It may be that you just want to come to the altar and pray. You're welcome to do that. We're just going to have a moment where we have that opportunity. So when I pray, man, if God dealt with your heart and you just want to talk to somebody, as soon as I get done praying, you come. Jesus, I pray that in this moment, God, you would work in and through us. God in heaven, I pray that, God, this morning, you'd help us to be obedient to you. God, for those, man, they said they repented and believed on you this morning. God, give them boldness. Lord, I pray for those that may be having questions. God, you'd give them strength. God, I pray we'd pray for our friends and our teammates and classmates and roommates. God, you work in these next few moments, I pray. I pray in Jesus' name. You just remain in an attitude of prayer. If God dealt with your heart, you come this morning. Stand and sing with us. I come broken to be mended. I come wounded to be healed.
am I worthy, lost, but mercy and grace, my freedom.
Hey, thank you so much again for being here. Just want to give you a few instructions before we dismiss. But let me say this for all of our folks that are helping serve, our college students or any of those folks that may, I'm going to let you get a head start so you can get in place and help serve our guests. And so thank you for that. Hey, I hope that you'll make plans. We have plenty of food, okay? So hope you'll make plans. I'll give you some instruction in just a moment. We are going to pray before we dismiss, and we will have an opportunity for folks that feel led and want to. Certainly don't feel obligated to, but opportunity to give as we lead. So some of our men are there ready to receive that if you want to, but please, again, do not feel obligated in any way. We are grateful that you are here. And chose to worship with us, and excited about the year, excited about athletics and all that's happening, and you'll see my crew and clan there on the sideline or in the bleacher somewhere, so grateful for you. Let me give you some quick instructions. You will go out, sorry, I'm going to point some, you'll go out these doors in the back, and then as you head out, you'll hang a left, and there's a hallway that goes around, and then there's a hallway that goes right away from us on the other side of this wall. You just follow your nose, all right? So you'll smell the cooking once you get out, and they'll have a line. And then those of you that have been here, the big room that we typically feed a lot of our athletes and everything in, we call it our fellowship hall. It's there, a lot of tables, the drinks are inside, and so hamburgers and hot dogs, chips, all the condiments, and then homemade brownies and cookies and all sorts of stuff. So, hey, this is just our church family saying, hey, we love you. We are grateful you are a part of this community, part here. We'd love to have you anytime, every Sunday, 10:45. We have a Bible study for college students at 9:30 every Sunday morning. And then we have the collegiate worship service every Wednesday night at 8 o'clock with a free meal before. And so then the last thing I'll mention to our tech students, if you will, we would love to know that you're here, all right? So some of our tech students, they're going to have a clipboard with a QR code on it. If you wouldn't mind, would you fill that out? Just use that, fill that out, know that we're here and just want to serve you. And so thank you for that. And then let me say this, if you you said, hey, Pastor Chris, man, I prayed. I asked God to save me, forgive me today. There's a place for you to respond and answer that in the QR code if you want. Several of your coaches have my number, coaches. You've got the freedom. If one of your students reach out and say, hey, I want to text Pastor Chris about that. Even if you're a young lady, you want to talk to a young lady, man, I'll get you connected with somebody at our church. I'd love to do that. So please text me. I want to come alongside you, help you, give you a resource to help you walk in that relationship and grow in that. All right? So, hey, grateful that you're here. I'm sure I'm forgetting something, but we'll figure it out. All right? So let me pray for us, and then all of our guests, we'd love for you to go and get lined up and get started. So, all right? Jesus, you're good. We love and adore you. We thank you for today. God, thank you for each of our athletes and tech students and all of our guests today. Lord, I pray you bless them. God, minister to them. Pray a hedge of protection around them this season and this upcoming year. God, bless this food, nourish our body. Thank you for all the work that has gone in to provide that. And just thank you for each one. I pray you bless each volunteer. And Lord, we just love you. We praise you. We thank you for all things. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Freedom's calling, chains are falling, hope is shining, bright and true. Day is breaking, night is waking, God is making all things new. Freedom's calling, chains are falling, hope is dawning, bright and true. Day is breaking, night is waking, God is making. Song.